You are listening to Blast Processing, the official podcast of all things video gaming, gadget, and gear related on DVDVerdict.com. On tonight's episode, Steve is given a mission, John has seen things you people wouldn't believe, and Kev is the knight. Episode 25, War is Hell, Grandma.
Hello, you're listening to Blast Processing, the semi-official, unofficial, they thought they canceled us two seasons ago, but we're still kicking podcasts of all things video gaming, gadget, gear, and other stuff related.
Motherfuckers, we're the Chuck of video game podcasts.
I can't even talk to you.
I meant they should have canceled us two seasons ago.
Oh, okay. Well, never mind that. They should have canceled us two seasons ago.
We are very not safe for work.
We are not safe. As has already been established less than 2 minutes into this week's episode.
40 seconds.
At only 40 seconds, we hope you either are listening on headphones or you've now muted the volume so you can't hear us anymore.
Rated R.
But hey, we're a podcast. We talk about video games for DVDVerdict.com. And we're going to start
talking
about...
Which is a pretty awesome website, actually.
It is. Isn't it, though?
Yeah.
Let's start talking about video games. Let's start with Mr. Woolridge. What have you been playing this week?
I'm Kevin. I'm here with Steve and John, in case you've never listened to us before.
They've all listened to us before. We have no new fans.
I'm
What have I been playing? Not a whole lot. I finished, finally, Arkham City.
Yay!
The main story, and most of the side missions. I really enjoyed it. Oh,
did
boy.
Did you catch Deadshot?
Yeah, I did, very easily.
Yeah, that was the first bunch of side missions I got hooked on.
Kevin. Sorry, yeah, I pretty much left all the side missions until I finished the main story, and then went back and started doing those.
I don't think I did any of the side missions.
Some of them are cool, but I don't know, man. Well, it's fun just going around the city, you know, gliding and using your batarang or back grapple. That's a blast. That never gets old.
The Joker's got bombs planted all over the city, but I'm going to stop and search for trophies.
Here comes Batman. He's going to save us.
Look, a green question mark.
That's the one thing that's really getting my nerves, actually, about the side missions. There's one side mission with the Riddler where he's got a bunch of hostages. You guys probably know all this already.
Yeah.
Where he's got a bunch of hostages in, you know...
Saw traps.
Weapons. Yeah. And I don't mind doing that bit, but he doesn't... You don't unlock a room until you've found enough of his little secrets around the city. Which is totally a drag.
If you find 200 green question marks, I'll give you a clue.
When I find 200 green question marks, I'm going to punch you in the nuts.
According to like the quest tracker achievement-y thing, there are like 400 secrets, apparently.
When I find four more green question marks, I can unlock the painting to Bowser's realm.
I'm killing that voice for the rest of this podcast.
Metal Gear.
So yeah, I liked the ending. It was good. I kind of ruined it for myself because me and Steve were talking about this the other day.
Yeah.
I had gotten really close to the end and then put it down, not realizing there was only about 20 minutes left. And so when I sat down to play it, it just went by in a few minutes, and I was like, oh, it's over. Crap.
Sorry, man.
Oh, that's all right. But it was kind of cool because, you know, once the credits were over, I got to play the last Catwoman stage. So, and then, of course, you know, do all the side missions. So I'm enjoying that. I did pick up – I'm so far behind everybody. I picked up Uncharted 3 this week, finally. Which I haven't even touched yet.
Oh.
Yeah, I know.
Oh.
Guys. Chapter 2.
Chapter 2, definitely.
When all – well, whatever other jaded – expectations, whatever dashed expectations we had of that game, we'll always have Chapter 2.
Yeah. I would play a game full of Chapter 2.
I would too. Naughty Dog, make an entire game out of Chapter 2, please.
I also tried out a couple of downloadable titles on my iPad. What did I try? Oh, a few board games. One called Through the Desert, which is an awesome game.
I've always wanted to try that one.
Yeah, it's really good. I really want to pick up the actual physical game because it's a lot of fun.
Well, that was what I wanted to try.
But yeah, yeah. I also downloaded Ticket to Ride, which I haven't even tried yet, and a game called Spellsword, which is kind of a retro-y kind of style beat 'em up. But there's like a twist on it because there are these like missions that you do kind of like Angry Birds-y kind of thing where you're collecting like cards and power-ups and stuff like that.
Strange.
I know. I went to try it today because it's iCade compatible, but it's buggy on the iCade, I discovered today. Like, I could not play it.
Crappy.
I started move. Basically, what happens is you, as soon as you touch the controller to move, you can't stop moving. Which makes it very difficult. You're just moving constantly.
Well, not if you play it like an old school shooter.
Yeah, but you're a guy with a sword. It's like a platform thing.
I think you need to start thinking outside the box.
Anyway, it's awesome to play it like that. I'll just put it that way. That is, aside from lots of Minecraft, all I've been playing, I think, this week.
My daughter has discovered Minecraft.
Which one?
Which one?
Abby.
Awesome.
She has been playing it pretty much nonstop the last 2 days on Harley's iPod.
That's great.
I just realized something.
What's that?
You could download that for her on the 360.
Yeah, I told her this evening.
Actually. Silence, Dimitri!
I told her this evening that it was out for Xbox, and she kind of looked at me, and her jaw was like,
That's awesome.
Listen, the brains that kid got in her head?
Yeah.
Just imagine the world she's going to build.
Well, dude, she started playing World of Warcraft at the age of 3.5.
Yeah.
She was out farming goblins at 3.5. I can't imagine what she'd do with Minecraft.
I think that's awesome.
If she applied herself to Minecraft, I shudder to think of the possibilities.
No, honestly, dude, I think that's the type of game that'd be perfect for someone like her.
Check this out, Daddy. I recreated one WTC Plaza in Minecraft.
I just made a circuit inside the game. There's a computer now in there. I can add one and one.
It spits out 2 boxes.
Yep.
I've created artificial life. It woke up, it asked a question, and now it is angry.
Minecraft has taken on a life of its own on the web.
That's the bizarre thing about it, man. People are actually making rudimentary computers inside Minecraft.
I know. I've seen the scariness.
Yeah. It's pretty frightening.
On July 17th, 2012, Minecraft went self-aware.
Just wanted our fate in a microsecond. Termination.
How about you, Mr. Mercer? What have you been playing this week?
Well, I was looking at a new game this week that I think you're going to be talking about in a little bit.
Yeah.
And my wife laid down the ultimatum that with the new games coming out in the next couple weeks, new this week.
Oh, man, May is a crazy month.
I know, and I'm not used to May being a crazy
month. No, but this has been the worst month for me since November.
Yeah, it's like, I honestly think game publishers now are looking at Hurricane Retail and say, why do we always just concentrate here? Let's rape these motherfuckers' wallets year-round.
I think they're looking at last year's Hurricane Retail and realizing that the only games that did anything last year were Battlefield, Call of Duty, and Skyrim. So they're starting to space stuff out a bit more, you know?
Yeah, and I mean, you look at stuff like, we say it all the time, you know, you look at Darksiders had a bit of an odd release date and sold crazy well.
Yeah.
You know, Bioshock hit at the end of a dry summer and sold crazy well.
Yeah.
Right? You can make a hit anywhere in the year. You don't have to put all your eggs in that holiday season basket.
But see, what kind of sucks now, and this is the part that I find really shitty, a lot of the majors now are starting to line stuff up against, like, lesser contenders. Like, okay, now next week you had Max Payne 3, which, yeah. I mean, the May 13th or the May 15th release date's been announced since, like, last year.
Yeah.
And you've got Game of Thrones, which is a nice niche, you know. Looks like it could be a fairly reliable game. I mean,
I was thinking it was going to do pretty well with the sudden more public awareness of RPGs in the wake of Skyrim and Onward and The Witcher.
But then what happens? Blizzard comes out and says, hey, guess what? May 15th, bam, Diablo 3. fuck Max Payne, fuck Game of Thrones.
That's true.
They're going to get swallowed. They're going to get devoured. And I mean, Max Payne, yeah, it's got a bit of name cred to trade in on, but it's been so long since Max
Payne
2.
Dude, it's been 10 years since Max Payne 2.
And it's a different developer, and it's also a developer that's not as well regarded as the original developer, you know? So it's, you know, it's more of a dicey prospect. I think the game looks fantastic, but now they've got to butt heads with Diablo 3. And I don't care what anybody says, oh, but Diablo 3 is an RPG, or it's a point-and-click game, it's a casual game, or what. No, Diablo 3 is mainstream. Diablo 3 is as mainstream as it gets. You know? And that just rots me. And then the following week, we've got Dragon's Dogma. But what else comes out the same day? The new freaking Ghost Recon. You know, like, how do you compete with that?
Yeah.
A game that's been hyped for the last 2 years. It kind of sucks that they're starting to do that. You know, they're kind of looking at the release windows and saying, well, we only got this new Capcom IP coming out here, so we might as well throw Ghost Recon that week, because, I mean, Dragon's Dogma is not going to do anything, you know?
Yeah.
Whereas if they had kind of left it alone, the game might have survived. And it's not even a matter of... I mean, I'm sure this is not the case. I'm sure it's just a coincidence and stuff like that, but it almost feels like they're deliberately ganging up on lesser titles.
Yeah.
You know?
In happier news, I was playing games the week.
Yeah, what were you playing, John? Come on. Sorry.
Yeah, I got a bit of an inexplicable cyberpunk kick. Not really inexplicable. I'm always into cyberpunk.
Yeah, well, like myself.
Yeah, I went back and took Binary Domain and Syndicate off the shelf.
Yay!
Yep. And I finally blew up that goddamn spider in Binary Domain.
Awesome.
Yeah, I'm arrogant and playing on hard difficulty.
I think that's what I was playing on too, but I'm not sure.
And it's not easy.
No, it's a pretty tough game.
Yeah.
It was actually released for PC this week.
And it's actually still getting the same type of respectable reviews.
Yep.
And that's not going to change the fact that it didn't sell anything.
No, 360,000.
Yeah.
Thereabouts.
So, there you go, douchers. There you go.
I'm not sure how Syndicate did either. I don't think Syndicate performed amazingly well either. But Syndicate kind of came really, really fast. You know, it was announced in November, I think.
I couldn't believe it when I saw it on shelves.
Yeah. Like, they first showed it back in November, and it's like, oh, yeah, and it's going to be out in February. It's like, oh, whoa. Really quick turnaround.
Also a really cool game, man. You know, this is how I like my first-person shooters. I like a nice, focused campaign.
Oh, I loved Syndicate. I thought it was fantastic.
And I don't want anyone saying, you know, I like single-player games. Lols, you have no friends.
Yeah.
Right?
Whatever.
No, I do have friends. I do like a decent single-player campaign. That's the way I am. You know, I come from the 8-bit era. There were a lot of single-player games back then.
Yeah, it's for sure all these guys who log into Call of Duty every night, they don't have friends, they have enemies.
Yeah.
They have frenemies.
Yeah.
I was just about to say that. No, you know, these are two games that got these great single-player campaigns, lots of awesome set pieces. You know, there was I lost someone last night in Binary Domain. I had to load up my save file and go back and do it again to save them. It's that whole Ranger credo.
Yeah.
No matter what the odds, no matter what the enemy.
And I kind of got attached
to those characters. You're not falling off that goddamn elevator on my watch.
Yeah, I kind of got attached to those characters, too, actually, in Binary Domain. Like, the characters were kind of... They were pretty well written.
Well, I went back and restarted, right?
Yeah.
I started playing it a bit when I reviewed it, and I find when I'm reviewing games, I'm kind of not going in as deep as I'd like to.
Yeah.
I went back and restarted it, and I am really liking the characters, you know, as much as I... When we first saw that trailer... The very first trailer for it, I was making fun of the totally stereotypical black character.
Delroy Lindo.
Yeah. And, but I'm loving the French robot. And I'm loving the little quips that come out of Dan.
Yeah.
You know, how old are you? Oh, don't mind her. She's just a farm girl from the rice paddies. It's like, wow, Dan, that's... Joshua was a racist. Came out of nowhere. And Syndicate. And Kevin, I'm not doing the Mega Force thing here. I'm actually doing like the French kiss your hands because it tastes so good.
Oh, God. Neither one is appropriate.
Kevin, I just did the Megaforce thing.
All right.
No, man, what a great, intense, awesome cyberpunk game.
Man, Syndicate, I mean, anything Starbreeze does, anything Starbreeze creates, I'm there. Because they really put so much more life into a first-person shooter than anyone, than just about any other developer does, you know?
I took the TV away from Beth. She's horribly addicted to Rhythm Heaven. And I put on Syndicate, and I didn't even realize that I was making the like Blade Runner noise when the title, because they do that title screen like 6 times before you actually start the game.
Yeah.
Because it's so awesome.
Yeah.
And I just looked over, and she's just staring at me like, "You are such a loser."
I thought it looked so nice.
It's like when everyone was saying with Deus Ex, you know, ragging on that, the future is golden, the future is sepia. In Syndicate, man, bloom lighting everywhere and everything just looks wet and dirty. I couldn't believe the production values in the game.
Yeah, and it's the engine is not even like, it's not a fantastic graphics engine or anything, but it's just, it's got that visual style.
The art design is off the charts.
Yeah.
The voice acting, you'll be hard pressed to find a better cast, man.
Yep.
Right?
Totally agree.
I'll probably try that out in a few years.
Awesome game. I actually need to get my copy back from wherever it is and finish it. I think Brian might have it.
Right now.
Yes. I didn't buy mine. No, I bought mine off Lawrence.
Yeah, I'm really close to the end, too. So, I'd like to get back at it. I dug into one. Speaking of why we weren't exactly speaking of awesome writing, but I did dig into a demo this week. It's one I'd been curious about. We first saw the trailer on the Spike Video Game Awards a few years ago, and
ooh, I think I know what this is.
It looked promising. It looked like a pretty cool game. It looked like a cool concept. And it dropped this week on Xbox Live and PSN. The demo for Spec Ops: The Line.
Oh, interesting.
It is freaking awesome.
That's the one I was really looking forward to, right? The Heart of Darkness in Dubai.
Yeah, it's man, it the way they've got it written, like the way the writing is handled, it is right now based on the 2 levels of the demo that I played, which were pretty goddamn long. I think it took me probably an hour and a half or more to go through the demo. But just based on those 2 levels alone, the writing is the best like military shooter writing I've ever seen. And the way they set everything up, it's basically...
How many times do they say Oscar Mike?
They never. They haven't. Not once. Yeah, so you got Nolan North as the main character, and you've got this other guy. Or, you know, he's not doing Nathan Drake. He's doing, you know, straight-up military commander guy. It's Nolan North, of course, so you're automatically going to draw Nathan Drake because the guy's really only got 1 speed. But he's not as wisecracky as he is in Uncharted. But you've got this radio operator who's like the lowest in the chain of command in the little 3-man group, and he is freaking hilarious. Like, one of the choice things, the guys are walking through a sandstorm at the beginning of the game, and his line is something along the lines of, "A local airborne insurgency has infiltrated the U.S. zone designated as my pants." Which I thought was hilarious. I roared. I guess you kind of got to be there. But it is... So far, it has been an extremely well-written game. You know, they set it up Hearts of Darkness style. You've got this Conrad guy that you're in there looking for. But you've also got 2 separate factions. You've got the 33rd, which is like the ranger unit that this dude was leading in to kind of rescue. Like, he had gone in on a mission to bring civilians out after this giant sandstorm hit Dubai. But you've also got refugees, like survivors, who are armed. Who are holed up, and they're kind of like 2 opposing forces. And you've got a war correspondent, like a war journalist, running a pirate radio station and basically providing commentary over the whole thing, over loudspeakers. Really, really freaking cool.
Cool, cool.
Really impressed with the storyline so far, and I absolutely cannot wait for the final game, which comes out in June. I think it's like June 22nd or June
23rd. Nice.
The other big one for me this week was... Lightbox Interactive and Sony Santa Monica's Starhawk, which is kind of like a spiritual successor to Warhawk from a few years ago.
Yeah.
Which was a spiritual successor to a game that came out in like 1994
called Warhawk. But Warhawk was online only. Starhawk is not. Starhawk's got a pretty cool single-player campaign. Pretty cool storyline. It's done with, like, those, you know, almost like that Flash-style motion comic. That's what they...
Kind of like they did with Infamous.
A lot, actually, identical to what they did with Infamous.
Okay.
Really, really well executed. Really well done. The main character's pretty cool. Voiced by the narrator from Bastion.
Okay.
And, man, like, the production values are great. It looks really nice. The music is absolutely incredible. I believe it's Chris Lennertz is the name of the guy who composed the music. And I got the limited edition version, so it came with the soundtrack and stuff. And I've actually had the soundtrack spinning all day, and it is freaking awesome. Like, really, really good, epic sci-fi with a Western twang, you know?
Okay.
Just great sound to the game. And so far, I'm really digging the single-player campaign. It's essentially, like, it's training for the multiplayer, yes, but it almost feels more like the single-player campaign in, like, say, Warcraft 3 or Starcraft 2. You know, like, they give you the illusion of scenarios and stuff. It doesn't feel like you're fighting just AI opponents kind of thing, you know? I'm really pleased with it so far. Aside from that, I hit level Chapter 2 in The Witcher 2, which was absolutely stunning. And I think that's about it.
Did you know there's a Witcher digital comic as well?
Yes.
Like, digital motion thing?
Yep.
Yeah.
I haven't seen it, but I know it's out there.
Yeah, I just saw a trailer for it today, but I didn't watch it.
They're releasing, apparently, like a hardcover graphic novel or something.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, that's cool.
Mm-hmm. Hmm. Which I'm definitely interested in.
Yeah, nice.
I think that's it for what we're playing.
I think it is.
Let's do the news.
News.
Off the top, release dates. Dishonored, which is a first-person Assassin's Creed-y looking game set in some alternate history steampunk setting, hits on October 9th. Someone of some repute was responsible for that one, but I can't remember his name right now.
I don't know.
You continue, and I'll have it for you in a second.
Okay. The remake, or rebirth, or something, of Eidos' Hitman franchise strikes on November 20th when Hitman Absolution hits PlayStation 3, Xbox 360, PC. And in the downloadable department, we've got Tony Hawk's Pro Skater HD, which hits PSN and Xbox Live in June. No real closer detail than that. And lastly, we've got the recently announced Harley's Revenge DLC for Batman Arkham City, which hits PS3 May 29th, 360 on May 30th, and I believe on May 29th there's a Game of the Year edition hitting for Arkham City, which also includes Harley's Revenge.
And Batman Year One, apparently, the animated.
Yes, that's right, the animated Batman Year One movie, which was pretty badass.
Oh, was it?
It was pretty cool, yep, gotta say.
Cool. Nice.
How you doing with that name there, John?
His name is Harvey Smith.
Oh, okay. He was responsible for Thief or something?
No. Super Wing Commander, Ultima 8, Pagan.
Oh, God.
Cyber Mage, Darklight Awakening.
Oh, God.
System Shock, Fireteam Rogue.
Okay,
Deus Ex Invisible War, Black Sight, Area 51.
Right on, so he's got
something. He doesn't look like anyone major. He wasn't a director, he was a designer.
Oh, okay, yeah, no, I know there was a pretty big deal made about who was supposed to be directing it or something. But, yeah, it's coming from Bethesda, October 9th. That's about it for release dates.
Cool.
Nintendo has cut prices on DSi hardware. The DSi is now $99.99, while the DSi XL drops to $129.99. How many goddamn DS variations are there?
Two that I know of. No, three.
That are, well, okay, you had the DS. You had the DS Fatty.
Four. Jesus.
The DS Fatty, the DS Lite, the DSi, the DSi XL.
Yeah.
Yep.
And, I mean, if you want to call the 3DS a brand new console or not, right?
Blah.
So with the DSi dropping to $99, I'm probably only going to get about $20 for my DS Lite, eh?
Yeah.
Good
chance. With your paperweight.
Yeah.
I got a DSi XL. That's a paperweight, too. I haven't touched it in 8 months or so.
Please. The DSi XL is not a paperweight. It's a doorstop.
Oh, okay. Sorry.
The 3DS is a paperweight.
Yeah, there we go. The 3DS is a Polly Pocket toy. Just give it to your kids.
So we've got some Minecraft news this week, mostly related to the Xbox 360 version, which just came out.
Details! Need details!
The details are the 360 edition has broken all previous digital sales records, selling more than any other title in the first 24 hours on Xbox Live Arcade.
Wow.
Microsoft are not releasing any numbers because they're like that.
And
but,
that's what really funny about it is I haven't seen any hype whatsoever.
Well, that's because you're not in Minecraft circles.
I guess, yeah, fair enough. But like mainstream news outlets and stuff like that, like there's been very little talk.
There's already 400,000 people on the leaderboards.
Nice.
Right. I mean, it's huge right now.
That's fantastic.
But it, in relation to that, or related to it, which is the same thing.
Yeah.
The 360 version, apparently, the local multiplayer mode, you have to have a HD television to be able to play the multiplayer local.
Right on.
And this isn't something that they've set up front. It's kind of ambiguous when you get the game. So people are looking for refunds.
Really?
Well, because people have downloaded it who don't have a HD television.
How many, though? Really?
Well, enough to make it news.
I think there's a lot of people making a big deal out of nothing.
Well, for people who don't have it, like, and wanted to play with their friends.
Fair enough.
That's kind of a drag.
That is kind of a drag, I agree.
Yeah, and Microsoft is being really picky about their refunds on it, apparently.
Yeah?
Yeah.
That's understandable as well, because they generally don't give refunds for stuff purchased on Live.
Yeah, but they also, they don't have that said up front when you buy the game. You only find out about it after you buy the game.
About the multiplayer?
Yeah.
Right on. Yeah, they should definitely specify, you know, HD television or HD display required for multiplayer.
Definitely.
That should be specified clearly.
Yeah.
However, I do note they're very quick to note in the end of the description for every single thing on Xbox Live, there are no refunds for this item.
Yeah.
So caveat emptor.
Yeah.
Okay, before the game has even launched, Ghost Recon Future Soldier DLC has been announced. Arctic Strike will add new maps, new multiplayer modes, 6 new weapons, and will be reasonably priced at $10. And it's coming on July 3rd. Future Soldier doesn't even come out until May 22nd.
I got a question.
Yep.
Are there two sets of colons there? Is it like Ghost Recon, colon, Future Soldier, colon, Arctic Strike? Or is it like Future Soldier hyphen Arctic Strike?
I don't think there is any really...
That's a shit ton of subtitles.
I don't think there's any official nomenclature for that one. It's, you know, it's still up in the air. But the promo art that was released looks really freaking cool. And it's an environment, you know, like, I mean, how much fun did we have with Ghost Recon 2?
Yeah.
I'm just thinking... Arctic environments. I'm excited.
I know some motherfuckers are getting an icicle through the eye.
I also hope, like, it's a good sign for me that it's coming so fast, and I think that they haven't released a number of maps, but it is, you know, a generous helping of maps. So
yeah.
I'm hoping that it gets the same support that Gra 2 got. I mean, last going off with Gra 2, you could buy the game for $9.99, and for $15 you could have over 60 multiplayer maps. Which is just insane, you know?
Hmm.
Speaking of insane and insane people, Mega Man creator Keiji Inafune's new game, Soul Sacrifice, will be hitting the PS Vita this winter. It looks good. It looks like graphically pretty. It's probably going to be batshit crazy.
Yeah, it does look kind of crazy.
Is this the game with the guy ripping the spine out of himself to use as a weapon?
Yes, I think so.
Oh, my God, that looks sick.
This is a question for you, because his other big project he's been working on is some 3DS game where you play as a pirate penguin.
Oh, is that Newtopia or New something?
I don't even know what it's called.
Yeah.
How the fuck do you make the jump from that to some guy ripping out his own spine to use as a weapon?
Because you can't have that on the
3DS. The only conclusion I can come to is barbiturates.
Japan, John. Japan.
Cocaine's a hell of a drug.
I was kind of disappointed, to be honest with you, because when it was first announced, like when they first started showing, like the little teaser and stuff for it, a lot of people were theorizing that it was going to be a PSP game set in like the Demon Souls.
Yeah.
You know, that's whole. I can't say world or whatever, but basically it was going to be like a spiritual successor to Demon's Souls for PS Vita.
Yeah.
That got me excited for all of 20 hours or 24 hours, and then they actually announced that it was KJ and Inafune's next game, and I was kind of like, oh.
Herp.
Herp derp.
Okay. Well, you know what? We wish him the best of luck.
Yeah. I do wish him the best of luck, because I like Inafune as a talent, you know? He directed Mega Man, so...
He directed the good Mega Man games.
Exactly.
Shall we move on, gentlemen?
Go for it.
All right. I'm never sure when you guys are finished.
When I do this, Kevin.
Oh, God. Shoot me now. So, the delays have begun, and this one kills me, man. BioShock Infinite has been pushed to February of 2013. Slices of sadness pie for everyone who likes BioShock.
And that's a bit of a drag, I gotta say.
Yeah, I was looking forward to that one.
And I have to wonder what they're doing. Because they've been working on that for a while, man.
They have been, yeah. Yeah. I don't know. But still looking forward to it, and we'll continue to look forward to it until February of 2013.
I'm sure it'll be. I'm sure it'll still be awesome.
I wanted to look forward to it till fall, but
yeah, I was kind of hoping they'd go in the same launch window as the first two and have it out in August. But you know, whatever.
Yeah. Ah well.
Such is
Steve,
life.
August was a month for Rapture. Okay. Columbia's all about February.
The devs behind the newly released Starhawk have declared all future Mac packs will be free. They cite the fracturing of the have and have not player bases for their last effort, Warhawk. And I'm going to elaborate a little bit more on that later.
Okay.
I got a blast point to make about that one.
Ah, okay. Blast point this week.
Mm-hmm.
Ah.
Well, you better get that in before the retro rockets fire. I like free maps, though, man.
Free maps are great.
You get a free map! So, rumor and scuttlebutt has Grand Theft Auto V landing in October of this year. Your esteemed friends here at Blast Processing think that a March to May 2013 release is more realistic and fitting with Rockstar's past few efforts.
Yeah, I can't see
it. I mean, everything since GTA 4 has pretty much been
GTA
March or May.
4 was April, I believe, yeah.
Well, that's between March and May.
Yeah, and we had Red Dead Redemption was April, L.A. Noire was May, Max Payne, of course, May. So it doesn't fit. It doesn't really fit.
No.
And Rockstar, I know Take-Two kind of has controlling interest in Rockstar or whatever, but I know Rockstar releases games whenever the hell they want to release games. Mm. Nobody tells Rockstar when they can and can't release a game.
Rockstar.
I mean, they may come out at E3 or whatever, because apparently they're going to have an E3 presence this year, which they never usually do. But they may come out and say that it's going to happen in October, but I'd be really surprised if they did. But now, one of the other... I think the source of that rumor, too, was that they didn't mind delaying BioShock until February because GTA 5 was ready to go.
Right.
So who knows? I mean, it could go either way. I'll believe it when I see it. Mm-hmm. When I see it advertised for October, because Rockstar have always played their cards close to their chest anyway. So I mean, I'll believe when they advertise October release date, then I'll believe October release date.
Yeah. We got some Kickstarter news this week.
Woo!
I assume it was this week. I don't really know. The creators of Space Quest. Do they also do King's Quest?
I think King's Quest was Roberta Williams, but Space Quest was another Sierra guy.
Cool, cool. They haven't been around since Indiana Jones fought Nazis and dug for relics. They're back on the scene with two guys from Andromeda Space Venture. Carmageddon Reincarnation. Is this another one that they're doing? Like a second one?
No, this is another game altogether. This is a separate...
Oh, different one, different news.
Yeah.
So the Space Quest guys are doing a new game, two guys from Andromeda Space Venture. And we've also got another one called Carmageddon Reincarnation, which is bringing back the Car Combat Death Race ripoff from the land to the land of the living.
It sucked before. It's probably going to suck again.
I hope you're saying that about Carmageddon and not Space Quest.
Oh, no, I'd never say that about Space Quest. Come on now. But, I mean, when was the last time Space Quest? Like, talk about trading on nostalgia, man. Space Quest hasn't been relevant since there was a 19-8. Like 1, 9, and 8 in our year code.
I remember the tail end of Space Quest. Well, by that time,
did they even release a Space Quest game in the 90s?
No, they didn't. They were too busy then with Police Quests.
But that wasn't even the same team.
No, but it was one of Sierra's Quest titles.
Yeah, I guess, yeah.
Probably came on those big floppies, hey?
Oh, man, I remember it. Like installing 4 floppy disks and then not being able to play it because you needed the instruction manual to answer a trivia question or something to get into the game.
Jeez Louise.
I remember me and Chris Martin playing the hell out of it, though.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, and it was a really fun game. I remember something about your mop floating out of a locker in a landing bay and stuff. And I remember it being really funny and stuff, but it's been so long, man, since I've seen one of those games.
Didn't even make it Roger Wilco?
Yeah, yeah. And I think he even started, like, before Space Quest, he had Text Adventures.
Right.
But it's just one of those things that I was amazed to see, you know, from the creators of Space Quest. I was like, really, guys? Really?
You guys aren't in your 60s?
I mean, at least Roberta Williams had Gabriel Knight and stuff like that in the 90s. And, I mean, King's Quest died a lot later than Police Quest or Space Quest did.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I mean, Police Quest kind of evolved into the whole SWAT Rainbow Six thing and then died.
Police Quest SWAT, that's right.
I remember you had 4 Police Quests.
I wonder who's got that license now, man.
I don't know.
Because I know Activision didn't keep it when they bought Sierra, and I know that was one of Sierra's internal properties, right?
I always liked Police Quest.
They were pretty great little games, man.
You know, busting the serial killer in the second game, or killing the serial killer in the second game, then having his equally psychotic brother kidnap your pregnant wife in the third game.
Yeah.
I don't think you played as Sony in the fourth game.
I think 4 was a little different. I think they changed
it. It was called Police Quest Open Season.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I know they were always a little bit of controversy behind them, because they, the guy who actually created SWAT in L.A. had his fingers into that.
Daryl F. Gates, yeah.
Yeah.
He was the driving force behind him.
Yeah. I think the main character is actually based on him.
Yeah. Other Sierra news, slightly off topic from Kickstarter, but the Quest for Glory games all hit Good Old Games this week. And anybody who hasn't played the Quest for Glory games, you really should.
I don't know if I ever have.
They were awesome. It started as a part of the Quest series. It was originally called Heroes Quest.
Right.
But they, when they released the second one, which was kind of an Arabic-flavored one, they had to change the title because of conflicts with the board game, the HeroQuest board game.
So they
changed the title to Quest for Glory. And then when Quest for Glory 3 came out, they remade the first one using, like, the 256 color graphics like they used for the third one.
Right.
And at the time, there was a pretty big deal made about it, because, like, when the third and the remake of the first came out, they were using, like, digitized claymation characters and stuff like that. Like, it was a really, really cool series, really cool combat and stuff in it. It was a cross between, like, RPG and adventure game. It had that whole point-and-click adventure thing, but the combat felt more like RPG combat.
Right, right.
It was a pretty cool little series. I'm actually really anxious to snag them.
Cool.
Moving on. Blast Point time.
Oh, boy.
This stems from the whole Starhawk announcement, and I applaud Lightbox and Sony Santa Monica for this one. I really do. Free map packs, free downloadable map packs. Okay, way back to Warhawk, and even Killzone 2, and even to an extent Ghost Recon 2, we've had issues with DLC. Whenever you get a group of people together and try to play a game, certain players are missing content, and it always ends up someone gets disappointed. Someone can't join a game, or the host doesn't have all the cool maps, or whatever. You know, but what always ends up happening is, especially in a situation where you're more of a solo player, when you're like someone like me who got into Warhawk but didn't want to spend $15 or $20 on the 2 expansion packs that they put out for it, I had a very, very selective group of games to choose from. You know, like I had a pretty weak list of servers that I could play on. And this really kind of hit home with me with Warhammer, with Space Marine. Not 2 weeks ago, I bought all the DLC for Space Marine, the two additional downloadable,
like Exterminatus and
Exterminatus and Chaos or whatever. And no, it wasn't even Exterminatus. It was when you could play as the Dreadnought.
Okay.
And there was not like they were competitive multiplayer modes that were,
okay,
that were added as DLC. You cannot get into a single game. No one is playing them because no one bothered to purchase them.
You know what? I noticed that too, because when I went to try out multiplayer, I chickened out because I didn't want to play with strangers.
Yeah?
But yeah, I clicked on the Dreadnought stuff, and then it came up that it was DLC that you had to buy, and I was like, oh, I didn't know that was DLC. Well, I don't have any money on my thing, so I guess I'm not playing it.
Yeah. Well, man, I picked it up. I picked it all up because I had credit languishing on my PSN account.
Right.
And, no one's playing it. I was disgusted. I was like, man, I really want to play as a Dreadnought.
But yeah, exactly.
Nobody is playing it. You cannot get into a single game. I left it there for an hour, 45 minutes or something, waiting for it to pick up a game, and it never did.
Wow.
I was disgusted. And you know, like, it's a drag. It's a real drag that they put this stuff out at a premium because it is what happens. You know, like, you end up, okay, with something similar happened to me with Battlefield 3. I bought Battlefield 3 about 2 weeks after launch. So I missed out on the limited edition version, so I didn't get the back to Karkan maps.
Right.
And I don't want to pay $12.99 for them. You know, I think it's ridiculous for four maps.
Yeah.
It's Call of Duty pricing. It's outlandish. It's a pain in the ass, and it's a ripoff. So I'm not doing it. But of course, every single game I try to join in Battlefield, I'm missing back to Karkan.
Yeah.
So I just, you know what? Fuck it. I just don't play it.
Yep.
And that's all there is to it. It's what I mean. I really applaud them. And Warhawk, I know it was a huge problem in Warhawk. Because the DLC was pretty awesome. But it's just, it split the game so much because it wasn't Call of Duty, it wasn't Battlefield, it wasn't Ghost Recon, it didn't have that player base. And, you know, Warhammer, same kind of thing. Warhammer has got a small-ass player base. There are only, you know, four-digit numbers playing that game at any given time. And when you take pieces of DLC and split that even further, you're looking at, it's a devil of a time to get into a half-decent game. You know?
Yeah, yeah.
And I just, guys, learn from Starhawk's example. You want to give out map packs, give them out free. Unless you're a new Call of Duty and you want to milk us dry. And I mean, even then, even beyond that, you know what? That's highway robbery too. You guys sold millions of copies. Why the hell are you charging us $12 for four maps?
Yeah, that's ridiculous.
You know, I understand.
Because they got to pay for the AC licensing and the commercial.
Yeah, really. But it's such bullshit. I mean, I understand additional content. I understand new single-player levels. I understand areas that are like when you're adding significant features into a game. I understand. I understand charging, and I won't complain. You know, when the Skyrim expansion pack comes out, I won't complain about having to buy that online because it'll be worth what I spend.
Well, like the Legend of Dead Kell for Amalur.
Yeah, exactly.
How big a chunk of the map did that add onto it?
And it was about 4 or 5 hours of gameplay, and it was substantial gameplay. It added a new castle that your character could own. You know, it was really freaking cool. And even I go back to Ghost Recon, you can get 60 damn maps in that game for $15. 60!
That's more maps than 4 or 5. But yeah, basically that's 4 or 5. Grog games slapped together.
Yeah, it's just ridiculous. There's no need of it. Guys, learn from Starhawk's example. You want to add multiplayer features, you want to add multiplayer components, don't charge us out the yin-yang for them. If you have to charge, if you feel it's something that it's necessary to charge for, charge $5.
Yeah.
I mean, it doesn't take a lot to open a level editor and put together a map. It really doesn't. Especially
if you can do it.
Especially if you're taking it from single-player content. You know, all the art assets, the level design and everything is already there. All you have to do is set up boundaries and spawn points. It's 2 days of labor. You know? Like, it's not necessary. It's overkill. You guys are raping us, and all you're doing is fracturing your market, especially when it comes to games where you only got, like, 10 or 20,000 people playing.
Yeah.
Why would you do this? Why? It's stupid. It makes no sense. Stop.
As soon as you stop buying used games.
Online passes, John. Online passes.
Fascism, Steve. Fascism.
So what do you think, guys? Do you agree?
I do, actually. I think it's fucking ludicrous to be charging me another $15. Jeez, man, that's a quarter of a game.
Yeah.
Right?
For four maps. Or six
for
in some cases.
Maps. Yeah. Who do you guys think you are, Capcom?
I mean, I can appreciate, too, you know, Call of Duty. Elite subscribers get them for free and stuff like this. But, you know, how much are you paying for Elite and what is it really?
I was like, man, this is something a little bit different, but this completely pisses me off. A couple weeks ago, sat down or hopped online and my cousin wanted to try. He just got Marvel Capcom 3.
Yep.
And he wanted to play a couple rounds with me because, I mean, we, back in the Dreamcast days, sank countless hours in every 2D fighting game we could find. And I never really played a whole ton of that online when I first got it. Because, I mean, you know me with fighting games. It's more bring them over to a buddy's house and we all sit down on the couch and pass controller around like it's a doobie.
Yeah.
Right? Winner stays on, loser passes the controller. And I never realized I had a DLC code in there for two additional characters. Two DLC characters. I was getting them early because I had the collector's edition. I saw that. I was like, oh, sweet. And, I mean, I picked up the piece of paper. I looked at it. There was no mention there of, you know, this expires on so-and-so of a date. The code doesn't fucking work anymore.
Oh.
And I looked it up and I found out the reason the code doesn't work anymore is they canceled all those codes after Ultimate Marvel vs. Capcom 3 came out because those two characters were all the characters are automatically on the roster in that game.
Brutal.
That sucked, man.
And like, because I mean, the thing, the card was the little card with the code on it was behind the instruction book in the case. So I said, the code doesn't work. And I looked up, okay, and I went online to see it. I mean, I think they're like $4 each.
Ridiculous.
And it pisses me off because I have the collector's edition, so I want the two characters. I'm not paying $4 for fucking Shuma Gorath. Fuck Doctor Strange.
Hilarious.
Hmm.
Oh, Capcom.
Don't go changing.
With that out of the way, has anyone got anything for the Retro Rockets this week?
I do.
Hey!
Because I was playing some old school games. And I thought this might be a little bit of fun. This actually came out of a conversation I had with one of our listeners, who's a bit of a big retro game collector, my buddy Mike.
Okay.
And we were talking about old, like your favorite old levels. So tracing up, guys, no further than fourth console generation. So don't go any further than anything that got released in 1995.
So like end at the Super Nintendo generation.
End at the Super Nintendo and everything. What's your favorite, your one of your absolute favorite stages or levels or sections of a game?
Wow.
That's tough, man. Oh, boy.
Mmm.
And this has been fermenting in my head, too. I mean, since that night when we were sitting down and we were talking about how in the old Ninja Gaiden 2, they started bringing the gimmicks into it. You know, you had the one level with all the blowing snow, and that was keeping your jumps from, you had to wait till the wind blew in a certain direction.
Or the level where the lights went out.
Yeah. Fuck you, Tecmo. Lights go out in a Ninja Gaiden game.
That game was so awesome.
And at least we should have, at least we consider ourselves lucky there are no fucking birds in that level. I think you only had fireballs that appeared out of nowhere and started homing in on you.
Yeah. Little lanterns like will-o-wisps or something.
Yeah.
Man.
Okay, I got one.
Okay.
Okay, go
ahead. This is really a better one, but this is all that's coming to mind. I tend to remember old games as games and not, you know, individual levels. My memory for that is not as good as you guys.
You gotta think like a man player.
The, the level in Super Mario 3 where you get the boot, and I think it's like all the enemies are.
There's an entire span of level that's like introversible piranha plants.
That is hilarious.
It's not the piranha plant one. It's the one where like everything is giant or everything is small.
Yeah, it's in World 4. I know exactly what you're talking about.
Yeah.
I never played that very often
because I'd usually use the whistle or whatever. But whenever I did play it, I was always, man, this is cool.
The level with the boot in Super Mario 3, one thing that always stuck out to me, you're not moving from left to right in that level. You're moving from right to left. And that's messed up.
That's right, yeah.
It's messed up.
It's like there's something wrong with that level. And, of course, it would be the level where you're moving from right to left that you get, you know, an item that you don't see anywhere else in the game.
Yep.
It's like that level was like something out of Mario 2. It's like you're expecting Mario to wake up and be like, the fuck was up with that shoe? Mario, you got to stop eating mushrooms. Mamma mia. That's
awesome, though.
Man. What do you got, John?
I hadn't thought that far ahead.
Oh, yeah. I see how it is.
I'm going to let you sweat this out for a while.
Yeah, we'll just have some dead air for a while I'm trying to think on a level. Go for it.
You must have, like, a favorite Street Fighter stage.
I do, but it's not the same.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't mind.
Oh, man, that's so tough. You know what?
Dead Space, yeah.
What's that?
Dead Space.
Dead Space. I'm going to go with the first time you land in Super Metroid. When you land on Zeebs or whatever it was.
Right.
I think the area of the map is called Kratoria or Kratoria.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm gonna go Kratoria in Super Metroid. Okay. Just because it does such an amazing job of establishing the atmosphere.
Right.
You know,
right.
It's so quiet and everything is just kinda spooky. And you know, like you hit that certain point where everything just comes to life and the music kicks in, you're kinda like, oh shit, you know? And it is really, really it's an awesome opening act, you know?
Mm-hmm.
It really sets the tone for the rest of the game amazingly well. And next to that, I'd probably say, I think it's called Norfair, which was the second last, like, new region you discover.
Norfair was the lava level.
Yeah, that was awesome, too. That was really, really cool.
Cool.
If not either one of those, then the first level in ActRaiser.
Oh, yeah, definitely. That was a good level.
If only for the music. Fillmore Act 1.
Yeah, definitely.
That... Actually, well, that's a supremely badass choice.
Yeah. That cool forest and the awesome tunes and then that really cool centaur boss with the lightning.
Nice. Very nice.
Cool. It's your turn, John.
Oh, I got one for you.
All right.
Opening intro stage in Mega Man X.
That was a pretty good one, too, yeah.
The highway,
yeah,
opens up. You know, you've got this is the first time you've heard. You've like the music is just mind blowing. It's awesome. I still love that stage's music. I still love the soundtrack to that game, and that was one of the high points for me of the when they remade it on PSP.
Yeah,
was the reworked soundtrack. But I just love little things you never thought of in the 8-bit or 16-bit era. You start the level and you got the. For the first couple screens as you're moving forward, you got the cars driving past you, people panicking, trying to get out of the city.
Yeah.
And I just love how you go through and, as you're going through the level, they're teaching you the new stuff from the game that you're going to need to get through everything. Like, you fight that first giant B-copter, and when you destroy it, of course, it crashes down onto the section of highway. And you got to think. Breaks and drops, and this is the first time you ever have to use the wall jump.
Yeah, yeah.
And of course, you know, you got to walk up over the broken body of the helicopter, and that just ramps you up just close so that you can jump up and touch the wall.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That was very cool.
Can I change mine?
You can.
I got another one. I can't believe I forgot this one because it's one of the most beautiful video game sequences, not even old school, but in any video game. Yeah. It evokes such emotion and just this somber feeling of loneliness. The end of time in Chrono Trigger.
Nice.
That's just such an amazing, amazing...
Is that the Doctor Who section?
Yeah, it's just, you know, the wharf that's floating in space.
Yeah.
You know, and all the characters, like, from your party are just kind of gathered around, and it's playing the really somber tune.
What I always loved about that is you'd go up and talk to them.
Yeah.
And when you took them into their party, it'd start playing that character's theme.
Yep, it was awesome.
And whenever I was feeling down, I'd just go and talk to Robo. And start playing
Robo? Really?
Yeah, man.
You wouldn't talk to Frog?
Actually, no, Frog's theme is pretty awesome, isn't it? Yeah, this is how much of a loser I was, man. I actually went and found out, tried to track down what his real name was.
Frog?
So I could, what?
Who, Frog?
Frog, I think it was Glenn.
Glenn, yeah.
I tried to find it out so I could call him Glenn.
Yeah, that level was just, that was, to me, that was an amazing, and like the first time I saw it, I remember I was sitting down, you know, it was one of those, because Chrono Trigger was one of the last games I remember, like, of my golden age of game playing. It was one of the last games that I marathoned. And I remember sitting down at, like, 2 or 3 in the morning the first time I hit the end of time and thinking, you know, like, man, this is so cool, you know?
First time, man, I ever played Chrono Trigger. And Chrono Trigger was my first real experience with an RPG.
It's an amazing game.
You know, like, I played Dragon Warrior because it came free with my Nintendo Power. And I had played, dabbled a little bit with Final Fantasy 2 and 3. But, you know, they were just, like, I wasn't buying games as much back then. Because, I mean, Super Nintendo games cost a fortune.
They did. They did.
Especially, like, Final Fantasy, man, you were looking at $119.99.
If you went to certain stores, yeah. If you found a major retailer that stocked it, it was usually $89. Or Canadian Tire, I think, used to sell them for a little cheaper, too. But if you were going through, like, the Sears catalog or Nintendo World, you usually paid a fortune.
I mean, our choices for retailers were fairly limited back then.
Yeah, they were, yep.
So, you know, my stuff with Final Fantasy, it was just a weekend rental. See, I mean, you'd rent it, you'd get into it, and then by the time, you know, it would go out, and by the time you get it back, somebody would have your save file erased.
Yeah.
I bought Chrono Trigger.
I did, too. I bought Chrono Trigger, like, on day one.
Well, I saw the screenshots of it, and then I think it was Game Players was my magazine of choice back then.
Oh, God. Why?
because I got tired of the friggin' smarm coming out of EGM.
Game Players was so bad.
Oh, it was, but at least they were pleasant.
I guess. Fair enough.
And, dude, I was 12.
Oh, fair enough, yeah. You had no taste.
But anyway, no, I saw, you know, that it was getting crazy, crazy reviews. Bought it, brought it home, started playing it, thought it was time to go to bed, turned the game system off, got up to get in my bed, and realized the sun was coming up.
Yeah, yeah, it was that kind of game.
And just... everything about it was awesome.
Yeah, that end of time level, man. And the first time you go back to the Dark Ages, like the first time you time travel,
yep.
And you walk out of the woods and everything is all foggy and misty and stuff, it's just like, man, where am I? You know?
Or, man, you step into Magus' castle, and I forget who it is approaches you and tells you that before you can even think about getting to Magus, you've got to kill all 100 of the fiends.
Yeah.
In the castle, right? And, like, back then, I looked at it, I was like, 100? Oh, God, you know, I figured, you know, I'm in the shit now. And, I mean, then you get down there, and it's one of the coolest boss fights I've ever had in an RPG.
Great game, great game. Yeah. And made even better by the awesome levels.
Yeah. Except for Zeal. Fuck Zeal.
I actually loved Zeal. And I
know, man.
And I think I'm the only person.
It's tough when you're down in the Ice Age and everything. I
loved Zeal. I thought it was great. I loved the music. I loved how mysterious it all was and, like, how, you know, like, foreboding Zeal was. I thought it was great. That was just such an awesome game.
I think what it was, it's a bit of a shock because you're just after fighting. I think Zeal comes right after the you finally finish up with the dinosaurs.
Yeah.
And you're just after, so you're just after going through Azala's palace.
Yeah.
And you fight Azala in that great big, I think it's the Black Tyranno.
Yeah.
And I mean, that's all, you know, action, 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 action. And then you get to Zeal and it's like, I got to talk to people. I gotta solve puzzles.
That
had
a
man.
Horrible boss fight in it too. Oh, that had a ridiculously difficult boss fight.
What, Zeal?
Yeah.
It had, I remember it had the mud imp with those two big Chewbacca-looking things.
And it was like the queen or something like that?
No, the queen Zeal on the actual, what was the ship called? The Black Omen?
Yeah.
That was difficult. But there was another one in that time zone. We were trying to free one of the wise men.
Oh, okay.
And it was just a very big purple thing. It was, because I remember you're going through there and you're fighting enemies in the area that are giving you crazy XP, and I figured after the whole reason they're giving you crazy XP is they're trying to get you leveled up to the point where you've got Chrono's ultimate spell, Luminaire.
Yeah.
Because it's one of the only things that can do enough damage to this great big purple thing before it destroys you. Giga Guys, I think it was called.
Right on. It's been so long since I played that, man. What a great game, though. So we've got any other levels, Kev?
You know, as soon as you said ActRaiser, that's all I can think about now.
Because ActRaiser is awesome.
I'm really disappointed I didn't bring in any warm Mega Man X memories, Kevin.
You know what?
The levels change as you beat different bosses, too.
The last Mega Man game I played was 5.
Oh, dude.
Wow.
X was the renaissance of the series. It made it awesome again for one game.
I like those old ones. Mega Man 2 was my favorite.
I'll always have a soft spot for Mega Man 2, but Mega Man 3 is probably my favorite.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
Cool.
Yeah, Mega Man 3 for me is because, and not only because I owned 2 and played the shit out of it, but 3 for me is where everything came together.
Yeah. Like, 3 was the height of the design, I think.
Yeah.
But both games are brilliant.
Hmm.
Great stuff.
ActRaiser.
Every level in ActRaiser. Except that goddamn pyramid.
Oh, the pyramid. I also hated the one, I think it's Blood Pool Act 1.
I love that
fighting,
one.
You're fighting the boss with the pit in the center.
Yeah, the Manticore.
Yeah.
That was pretty cool.
And the only thing that made it better for me was that you could still listen to the boss music. So when you died and got back to him again, you at least had the boss music.
There you go. Well, there you have it. That's our episode for this week. There's your Retro Rockets fix. Be sure to, you know, hop on Facebook, look up Blast Processing, check us out, like us, comment, give feedback. We like that shit.
Tell us about your favorite old levels.
Yeah, tell us about your favorite classic video game levels. What one level blew your mind, you know? You can go to DVDverdict.com, hit the jury room, which is our forum over there. We got our own little Blast Processing section. You can comment there. You can leave feedback there. You can subscribe on iTunes. Look for DVD Verdict Presents, and you'll get us, and They Came from the North, and Sights and Sounds of Cinema, Friday Filibuster, a bunch of great, you know, movie and game and music-centric podcasts to entertain you and soothe the soul. So be sure to tune in next time, and until then, if there's anything we want you to take away from this episode, it is this.
My, here come the fuss.
Adios.